As you lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
You want to welcome someone on your side? Welcome the person and tell the person, welcome to our power anointing service. Tell him your life will never be the same. Tell him the power of the Lord will overshadow you tonight. And everything that needs to be birthed out of you will be birthed tonight. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Let your amen show. So we have been looking at the New Testament mysteries for divine healing and health. The New Testament mysteries for divine healing and health.
All right.
So New Testament mysteries
for divine healing and health.
I explained to you from Sunday that in this kingdom, there are secrets that brings us into the realm of mastery. Without accessing these secrets and these mysteries, you are likely to be a victim or to be robbed of many blessings that belong to you. And anyone that needs to take charge and take a command must understand these secrets and these mysteries in the kingdom. And Jesus told them in Mark 4 that unto you it has been given, verse 11, to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto others or those that are out there, it has not been given. So for you and I, it has been given for us to know the secrets of divine health and divine healing. To know the mysteries that will bring us to a realm of sickness free. To a place where sickness and diseases are not associated with us on a daily basis. And I pray that our eyes will be enlightened tonight. Another dimension and intensity of light will flood your eyes, that you will be free indeed. Jesus said, for you will know the truth, or you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I always say that it is not truth that makes free, it is the truth that you know. If you don't know it, that truth will exist, but you'll still be in bondage. But the day you get to know of that truth, so the truth you know is what Jesus said, is what will make you free. He says, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatsoever you bind will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose, in other words, whatever you permit will be permitted. Whatever you disallow will be disallowed. But for you to enter into that realm of authority, you need to have access to the keys. Tonight, may you be equipped with the right keys for your freedom. May you be equipped with the right keys for your healing. May you be equipped with the right keys for your deliverance. And I declare that from now to the rest of your life on planet Earth, may you live a sickness-free life. I said, may you have a sickness-free life. May you have a disease-free life. May you never be a victim of any family-related sickness. May you never be a victim of any disease that will be an outbreak in the world. Any outbreak of sickness, you will never be a victim. Let your amen be the loudest if you are here. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. By this light that you are going to have. We said number one is the word of God. That our daily consumption of the word of God procures life and health to our organs and our systems. That is a preventive medicine and therapy. That the word of God is medicinal and therapeutic when you take it in constantly, consistently. When you keep taking in the word of God. We said the sent word also, or the declared word, has power to terminate all
ailment and cast out the spirit of infirmity. And so the word of God is very powerful for our healing. And so if we can continue to stay in the word, consumption of the word, staying, reading the word day and night, sickness will be free from us. Can I hear an amen? We also said number two, and I give scriptures, okay? Scriptures like Proverbs 4:20 to 22, and then Psalm 107 verse 20, and then Luke 5:15 to 17. Then number two, we said the name of Jesus. The Bible says in Mark 16:17, at the mention of the name, it says that this sign shall follow you in my name. They will cast out devils. In my name, they will cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But it is what? In my name. So the name of Jesus is a New Testament mystery for the healing of the body, for the healing of sickness and casting out of devils. And we explain why. Because the name has been given all authority. He has exalted that name in Philippians 2 verse 9. He said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So every knee called cancer, every knee, every disease has been subjected. Every sickness has a name. And every sickness is like a personality on its own, an entity on its own. And so every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. So the knee of fever bows tonight. The knee of cholera bows tonight. The knee of heart problems bows tonight. The knee of kidney failure bows tonight. The knee of cancers of all sorts bows tonight. Every abdominal pain, the knee bows tonight. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Because whenever you mention the name, we said the authority of the person appears. And the anointing of the person also appears when you mention the name. We also said that don't mention the name religiously. Even when you sneeze, Jesus. No. Don't mention the name of Jesus in vain, lest you will not benefit from its power. But mention it revelationally. Mention it with an expectation that something is going to happen. And if that is your attitude towards the name, it will always deliver results when you use it. To always deliver. If you mention the name of Jesus expecting something to happen, you will not fail. I said you will not fail. I said someone here, you will not fail. You will not know any failure. Then we also said number three, laying on of hands. Laying on of hands. It says that they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark 16:18 shall lay hands on the sick. Whenever you lay hands, power is transmitted from your spirit into the person on whom you lay hands on. And you can lay hands on your own self. Jesus healed many people by touching them. That's the laying on of hands, by touching them. And I gave you examples how I just touched someone without intentionally praying, but just holding the hands of the person and speaking to the person. Pam, in 5 minutes, the person jerked out of the sick bed to go and then get food and eat and was sweating profusely. Laying on of hands. I've laid hands on several people, deaf and dumb people, blind people, cripples. I've laid hands upon them and instant miracles happen to the glory of God. Rashes, skin problems, burns instantly to the glory of God just by laying on of hands. On Sunday, as I was ministering, the Lord ministered to me to lay hands on my interpreter, but I didn't want to obstruct the service, so I instructed everybody to lay hands on themselves, and I laid hands on my interpreter and I prayed for him, yeah, because of a certain issue I'm aware about. So I prayed for him, and after I continued with the preaching without obstructing the service. Then when we closed, he came to me and then he said, thank you for praying for me. Then I said, oh, why? He says that when you laid hands on me, something was going through me. He said, I felt the power of God. And it is not just the sickness issue, but I know that other things have been resolved. You see, when you lay hands, power is transmitted. I don't lay hands for nothing. That's why I don't normally lay hands. You see, the Bible says that lay hands on people, don't be quick. He says this in a King James way, lay hands not quickly. I want to put it in that way. Don't lay hands suddenly on any man. Do you get it? That's how the Bible puts it. Don't lay hands suddenly on any man. That means that don't be too quick when you see people. No, you lay hands. You lay hands. you should be led. Amen. Oh, amen. Yeah. So anytime we lay hands, miracles happen. Something happened. Hallelujah. And all the people that I laid hands on Sunday, you saw instant miracles and testimonies happening. Demons screaming out of people and sicknesses fleeing from the bodies of people instantaneously by the laying on of hands. And I'm expecting more testimonies as the year goes by. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. So have faith whenever hands are laid. And you can also lay hands on your own body. That's the dimension I want you to get to. That when you lay hands in the name of Jesus, it will work. If you lay hands by faith, it will work. Amen. The power of the Lord will be transmitted from your spirit into your body. You see, the power of God is not necessarily in your body, it's in your spirit. It overflows through your body. So that now contact can cause an effect. So you're a spiritual person and your body is being afflicted. Lay hands so that there can be a transmitter of power from your spirit into that part of your body. It works. Tell somebody it works. I'm telling you. So start laying hands on yourself with faith and see. You'll see that things are changing. What's the next number? So tonight, write this as we rise to pray. The next number is number 4, right? Number 4. Number 4. The power of faith. So that begins tonight. The power of faith is a New Testament mystery, a New Testament secret. The power of faith or believing. The mystery of faith is a major way by which we transact business with God. It's a major way. You see, without the mercy of God, you cannot receive anything from God without faith. Unless the mercy of God. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. So if you see somebody who didn't have faith and he got something, it was because of God's compassion. That one, God didn't consult the person's faith. And God didn't need the person's faith. Because mercy, like I taught you, is what brings intervention in your weakness, where you fall short. So on the virtue of mercy takes over, there is nothing you are going to see from God without faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6. It said, for without faith it is impossible to please God. For whoever comes to him must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's why you pray. That's why you come to church. That's why you do the things that you do. Because you first believe that he is. He's there. He's alive. He's real. And you believe also in his capability. So you believe in his reality and his capability. So without believing, you cannot receive any reward from him. And healing, like Jesus called it, the bread of the children, it is something we receive. It is something we benefit from. It's a provision for us. It's a blessing for our bodies. That God's healing power will be made manifest in our bodies, or will exist in health as God himself exists in health. But how can we connect to that? How can we receive that virtue running through our system on a daily basis unless we believe? And so you see all through the New Testament how Jesus kept asking people or kept speaking to people concerning their faith. That healings of people in the New Testament was largely connected to faith. Amen. There was nobody that Jesus really healed that was not connected to faith. Almost everybody that Jesus healed was in a way connected to faith. Either the faith of the person or the faith of somebody for the person. All through scriptures in the New Testament. You see Jesus asking people, do you believe? You see Jesus telling somebody, if you can believe. You see Jesus telling somebody, let it be so to you according to your faith. Over and over and over. You see Jesus telling somebody, I've not seen such great faith in all Israel. You realize that Jesus was only looking out for the virtue of faith. He was always looking out for the subject of faith when it comes to moving to touch people for healing. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, faith or believing that Jesus will heal you or God can heal you or believing that you are going to be healed is a New Testament revelation or a New Testament mystery for the healing of our bodies. Clap your two hands for the Lord. In Matthew 9 verse 22, but Jesus turned to him about and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Don't be afraid. By thy faith, he said, thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. You see, Jesus gave credit to the woman's faith because Jesus was not aware that the woman was coming for healing. Bible says that he was being pressed by the crowd. And so when he even asked that, who touched me? The apostles laughed or the disciples laughed and said, what kind of question is this? Look at the people that are thronging you. Look at the people that are pressing upon you. Look at the people. Everybody's body is touching you already. You know it. It's not like there's no one touching you. Everybody's body was touching Jesus. But there was a touch. And there was a touch. You cannot be in a crowd and then nobody touched you. Or not feel touched. People were touching him. But he was speaking about a certain touch. I pray that tonight, when everybody is trying to catch the attention of God, may you be the special one. May your own prayer be the special one. May your own effort be recognized by God. Jesus said, no, everybody else was touching me, but there is someone who touched me with faith. And when he found the woman, he said, be of good cheer, be of good comfort, for your faith has made the difference. This year, may your faith make the difference. You are not here with me. Listen, everybody will come to church, but your faith is what will make the difference. Everybody will try to pray with us, but your faith is what will make the difference. Everybody will give the offering, but your faith is what will make the difference. Everybody will sing the same song others are singing, but your faith is what makes the difference. See people receiving things from God. Check. One of the things that makes it so possible is their faith. Unless, of course, mercy steps in. Yeah. Remember that man at the pool of Bethesda? That man was not healed by faith. So I am balancing for you to understand that. But it is like 5% of Jesus's miracles. It's like just you hardly see Jesus doing that. He was mostly moving by those who had the faith. The man was sitting at the pool, was just sitting minding his business.
For 38 years.
And Jesus just came there.
Why are you still here?
I'm not getting anybody to help me.
He was even angry.
Don't come and interrogate me. And then Jesus says that, rise up and take your bed. That one is mercy. Say mercy. Mercy is when God decides to break the protocol, the process, the procedure in order to help you because you cannot get it by that procedure. You wait for the rest of your life because there are factors that are against you. So you cannot get it. The man said, the procedure to get this healing is if I fall into the water first. But I'm not getting anybody to assist me. By the time I crawl and I get there, the angel has already done the work and someone is ahead of me. Because if deaf people are there, their legs are really working so they can run and fall into it. And you are crippled. the first day I read the scripture many years ago, I said, why don't you sleep in the water? Why don't you be swimming every day? Why do you come out when you know that by the time you get there? But obviously, how we eat. Clap your two hands for the Lord. I declare over 50 people here, every process, every procedure that is against your getting that job, that opportunity, I command the force of mercy to intervene. Whatever you are looking for that you don't qualify for because of a certain process, a certain requirement, a certain procedure, I command the force of mercy is taking over. God is doing something about that situation for you. Jesus is having mercy upon you. God is having mercy upon you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands together. You understand what I was saying? Yeah. God, time that the what they are requiring, you don't have it. Others are having it. Others passed more than you did. Others performed better than you did. Others came with better CVs than you did. And so the only reason why you get is not by faith, it's by mercy. Are you getting it? But aside those once or one time that Jesus does those kind of things, largely his miracles were as a result of the faith of the people. In Matthew 15 verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The woman that came to worship Jesus, that the Canaanite woman, she didn't qualify. She's not a descendant of Abraham. She's not part of the Jews. So Jesus called her a dog. How can I give what belongs to the children to a dog? And yet she was not offended. That's why I keep telling people that if Jesus were to be in our days, a lot of us would be offended in him. The way we can't stand pastors to today and we can't stand prophets today. If Jesus were to be in our days, a lot of us would be offended in him. Imagine he trying to heal you and he spits and apply his saliva on your eyes. The social media will pick him up. Amen. You know, so Jesus told the woman her persistence because she believed that she still deserves, she still must get a healing for the daughter. And Jesus said, let it be so unto you according to your faith. Jesus said, great is your faith. That's the only reason why your daughter is going to be healed, because you are not a Canaanite, but at least you have faith. Faith draws from the supernatural. Understand that faith does what it draws from the supernatural. Faith is like you standing by a well and you need a bucket to draw water. It is with faith that you can launch deep and draw from the wells of life. I declare that may God empower your faith. As I'm speaking about divine healing this month, may your faith for that healing be empowered. May your faith for that miracle be empowered. May your faith for that breakthrough be empowered. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. In Matthew 9 verse 28, and when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yes, Lord. And 29, then Jesus touched their eyes and saying, according to your faith be unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that you don't. So faith brought them healing for their eyes. You know, sometimes you need to have faith for others who are sick and can't have faith for themselves. Sometimes your faith for your mother can heal your mother. Your faith for your child can heal your child. Your faith for someone can bring healing to the life of the person. So if there is somebody that is sick and doesn't have faith, you, the one trusting God for healing for the person, must exercise your faith on behalf of the person. Like Jesus did for that man. Because the man didn't believe, but Jesus himself needed to exercise his own faith and say, take your bed, rise up and walk. Peter and John at the gates of Beautiful, what happened? The man didn't know them from anywhere. Jesus had preached for 3 years in that same place and he never got his healing. And these people come and he begs them for arm. If he believed they could heal him, would he beg for money? Oh, talk to me. Because the direction of your petition is a revelation of your faith. Do you understand that? What you ask for and who you ask from shows what you believe, and who you believe can do it. Do you get it? So when they came there, he asked for money because he didn't expect that they can make him rise and walk, especially when Jesus didn't do that for him. And so he asked for money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he was still sitting down. Rise up and touch him. It's a vital miracle. Eh? There are people, if you don't take care, they will spoil your miracle. Where you, yema bumpa ya mama, I mean, that's still what I call it. Ah, man, I'm a boy in age. Peter prayed with all his heart. Oh. The man was still sitting down. And Bible says that, and Peter held his hand and pulled him up. Teshi, ajamen. A fitting record. Sometimes after you have prayed for that your mother, after you have prayed for your mother and she's going to take damage, they say, stop it. After she has done, she's still going to lie down and say, get up and bath and let's go. You are well. Otherwise, the healing will not manifest. They have just allowed you to pray religiously. Oh, okay, maybe there. I'm sorry. When you are down, person, say, yo, when they come down, back to the sick bed. So sometimes you have to exercise your faith by helping them out. Amen. And so Peter helped the man's faith. Do you remember the story of the man that his family members or friends opened the roof and they let him down? Because where Jesus was having the service was packed, overcrowded. There was nowhere they could bring him for Jesus to lay hands on him. And so the Bible says that they opened the roof. They destroyed somebody's building. Opened the roof and they let him down. Lowered him. So Jesus, as I'm preaching there, before I realize, somebody is descending on a mat. And then they left the person on the stage. They said, you must heal this man. Then Jesus looked at them, and the Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. And so he looked to the man and says, your sins have been forgiven. That means that the man was sick because of sin. Maybe I will break you, be hard. We used to get abused, you see, now to us on the way down. It is a winner, coccidiosis. The gentleman who have been using the girls, it can bring you sickness. You don't know, I'm telling you. The ladies who have been using the men, help me finish my course. It has consequences in the future. I can't realize, all of a sudden, you don't know where the BP is coming from. You don't know where the fibroid is coming from. And you can't do anything about it. Because it's a consequence of sin. Sin is the root of sickness. I've already taught you. I get what I'm saying. Then Jesus says, your sins, that means the root of your sickness, is dealt with. Why? By the faith of your friends. So my dear, next time when your mother is sick and she doesn't believe, you can believe for her. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Next time your father is sick
and is too weak to even answer, do you believe? Use your faith for them. Next time your children are sick, they don't even know what faith is called. Use your faith and pray for them. I am teaching you a New Testament mystery. Faith for healing. Faith for recovery. Faith for divine health. I pray that the next time you use your faith, it will answer like fire. It will answer with power. It will answer with fire. Clap your two hands and say, help my faith, Lord. Say, help my faith, Lord.
You'll find that story in Luke 5, 18 to 20. And then, what's the next number? Number 5. The anointing oil. The anointing oil. Tell somebody about you, the anointing oil is potent for miracles. It's powerful for healings, for miracles, for signs, for wonders. The anointing oil. James 5 verse 14 to 16. Now listen to me. It is not every oil that is an anointing oil. We have Fritol oil. We have Sabroso oil. We have Borges oil. There are any oil you see on the shelf is not an anointing oil. I get what I'm saying. Any oil you see somebody selling on there is not an anointing oil. Because that oil can be used for several things. It is oil. It can be olive oil. It can be any oil. It can be cooking oil. Vegetable oil. Do we have meat oil? Protein oil? Beans oil? Granite oil? Garlic oil? The mechanics, don't say dirty oil. I'm warning the mechanics, don't say dirty oil. You know what you are talking about. But I see that the mouth is opening. I have to stop him before he says dirty oil. The way everybody say meat oil, beans oil. The oil they are used to is called dirty oil. Amen. Now, when you go and buy this and you bring it, it is not anointing oil. It is either, if it has a, it is olive, this classic olive oil. What was used to produce is from the olive, that is tree or something. But it becomes an anointing oil after the anointing of God comes upon it. Hear what I'm saying. I didn't say after prayer is said on it. But the mere fact that somebody prayed does not mean the Spirit of God came. I can pour any oil on you. If when I asked God to come upon it, he didn't come, I am only wetting you. I'm only smearing oil on you. It's not anointing oil. Anointing oil is the oil that carries the anointing. So I must believe God that when I pray, his anointing or his spirit power will come upon it, so that it now translates from natural oil to become anointing or an anointed oil. Oil I can use to even anoint somebody. Clap your children. I get what I'm saying. So a lot of times you are holding it, but it's not anointing oil in your hands until power comes upon it. So now, and the oil. So I am not saying go and just pick any oil. Go to the pharmacist and buy oil and pour on yourself and then you are healed. You must make sure that it contacts power. Then you can now say you are holding an anointing oil. Make sure. Now let's read James 5:14. One go. Is anyone among you sick? One go. Is anyone one go? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Clap your two hands for them. This is not Old Testament, this is New Testament. So in the church, one of the New Testament mysteries for healing is when we apply anointing oil on someone. When we pray over someone with the oil, asking the Lord to move, God is able to move and touch the body of the person and heal the person immediately. Look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You see, when you apply the anointed oil, the faith that you had will begin to work. Will begin to work in your prayer. And even if you have sinned, so there's always a connection between sin and sickness. Your sins will even be forgiven. So tell somebody, believe in the power behind the anointing oil. Don't let anybody on the internet tell you that you don't need the anointing oil. It's important. It's a New Testament mission. It's important for breaking of yokes. It's important for attracting the Spirit of God upon to come upon things that are anointed and places that are anointed.
Yes.
Yes. It's biblical. It's scripture. And we in this church, we believe in the power that can follow the anointing oil when it is used in faith. When you use the anointing oil, make sure that the prayer you pray is called the prayer of faith. I get what I'm saying. When you are using the anointing oil, believe and pray and ask for whatever you are looking for. That's what we call the prayer of faith. Believe and pray. So let your prayer not be a casual prayer. Lord, as I anoint this my child, I command that every fiery spirit out, prayer of faith, believing. As I anoint this shop, let every demon harassing my business lose control over my shop. That's prayer of faith. Using the oil. I get what I'm saying. A lot of you say, oh, we bless the oil, you go, then you take it, and you yourself, you are using the oil, you don't even believe. You don't even believe. If mercy doesn't locate you, nothing will happen. Even though you are holding anointing oil, power, but nothing will happen because you don't believe it. And mercy didn't locate you. I guess what I'm saying. So you must make sure that when you are using the oil, you believe it. Now listen, oil is not God. Are you hear what I'm saying? I said the oil is not Jesus. The oil was not given to you to replace Jesus. The oil is not the Holy Ghost. The oil is just carrying the power of the Lord. The Spirit of God has come upon it so that it will carry out a certain assignment by faith. I get what I'm saying. When you hear people saying that stop using oil, you give oil to people, and then now they don't regard Jesus again. Their faith is in the oil. Please, you don't put your faith in the oil. You put your faith in the God who was contacted to anoint the oil. You put your faith in the God of that man of God who prayed. That God is with him. So once he has prayed, his God is working through the oil. So you have not made the oil God, but you believe the God that is through the oil. That's how we do. There's nothing wrong in believing the God of rescue. There's nothing wrong. If you call the name of Jesus and use the oil, there's nothing wrong. So the oil is not an idol. Don't put your faith in the oil, but put your faith in the God that this is not, is no longer a natural thing. Why? Because
You believe in the God that was called upon the oil. You believe that. And that's not wrong. Don't let anybody make you feel like it's wrong. It's not wrong. It's correct to see that this is something special. So that you don't treat it like nothing, throw it anywhere. It is special because it carries the power of God. But it is not God, so we don't worship it. It is not Jesus. And when we are using it, we use it in the name of Jesus. So whenever you are using the oil, use it in the name of Jesus. Believe, have faith that God will work through the anointing oil to change that situation for you. That is how to use the anointing oil. So don't let anybody make you feel like you are sinning because you are using oil. Amen. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 7, 12 and 15. Jesus himself, in his time, they used oil to pray for sick people. Let's read it quickly. My time is up. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. Jesus called the 12 disciples and sent them two to, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Go on. Go to verse 12. Jump to 12. So they went out and preached that people should repent. Amen. 13. And they cast out many demons. Amen. And anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Can I hear an amen? These are the disciples of Jesus. Jesus sent them. And he sent them with the power and sent them with oil. Jesus gave them oil. When you go and you meet demons, cast them out. You meet sick people, anoint them. That means that Jesus himself believed in the using of anointing oil. Clap your two hands for them. But they know that if they anoint, Jesus who sent them will heal. Yes. So may I know that if I anoint you, the Jesus who sent me, he will answer. He will heal you. He will do that miracle for you. Just by me anointing you, I believe it. And you must also believe it, that this oil that is in your hands, there is power upon it. There is power in it. And when you use it in the name of Jesus, it will work miracles. And when you use it and you connect your faith that the God of the man of God who gave you the oil is with you, God will answer. But that God is not dead. He will answer. In 1 Samuel 16:30, we see how Samuel came to pour the oil and the Spirit of God came upon David. Anytime oil is poured, the Spirit of God comes. That means that the anointing oil attracts the Spirit of God. So when I anoint your job, immediately the Spirit of God comes upon your work. When I anoint your body, immediately the Spirit of the Lord comes upon your body. Yes, that's what happened to David. And he became a giant killer. He became a lion killer. He became a king. Just by the anointing with oil. I pray that tonight, may the anointing of God locate someone. May the anointing of God locate someone. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. Number 6, the communion. The communion. Let me be quick. The communion. John 6, verse 50 to 55. Jesus says that, Jesus speaks about the communion. Eating the body and drinking the blood. And Jesus says that it is bread indeed. It is drink indeed. In other words, it is proper. Whenever we take the communion, we are taking real food, real spiritual food. We are partaking of the body of Jesus and of the blood of Jesus. And when we do that, we will not fall sick. We'll be healed. Why? Because Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says that for by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. That means the blood that comes out of his stripes, it heals us. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when we partake of the communion, we are partaking of the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus that heals us, because by his stripes we are healed. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11 to 13, that was the Passover food that the Israelites ate before they left Egypt. They ate the Passover, what we call the communion. And Christ is our Passover, according to scriptures. So they ate the communion, which we call the communion. They ate the Passover. And the Bible says that because of that Passover that they ate, they were able to journey for 40 years. And none of them became sick. None of them. Nobody. None of them fell ill. I declare that upon the table of communion, may sickness be cast out of your body. I said, may sickness be cast out of your body. May diseases flee out of your body. Because when he sees the blood, the devil will run away. The fever will run away. Psalm 105 verse 37. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble amongst his tribe, or there was none weak, there was none sick amongst them. Nehemiah 9 verse 21. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out. They worked for 40 years and their dress did not wear out. None of them had a weak dress. You can imagine wearing one dress for 40 years. Yes, that's the children of Israel. One dress for 40 years. And another miracle happened. And their feet did not swell. Walking in the desert, hot sand. And yet, your feet will not be swollen. It was a miracle. Why? Because of the Passover communion that they took. There was spiritual food, medicine on the inside of them. The blood was running through them. They cannot be sick. So I declare that the next time you partake of communion with this understanding, every sickness in your blood is flushed out. Every sickness in your womb is flushed out. Every sickness in your eyes is flushed out. Every sickness in your heart is flushed out. Every sickness in your body flushes out. Let me hear your loudest amen. We have recorded many testimonies connected to communion in this church. Many testimonies. People with skin diseases applied communion and bam, they are healed. People who were sick of different ailments applied communion, bam, they are healed. People come to me in the office and complaining of sicknesses or diseases or certain internal issues. And then I pick communion and I bless it and I administer it to them. I say, take this. And I pray for them and they go, coming back with testimonies. That's how powerful the communion is, even till today. That I don't joke with communion. I don't joke with communion because it has the power to kill every terminal disease in your life. It has the power. And some of you just take it casually. Only for the washing of sin. It's also for the killing of sickness, for the termination of disease. It's for the correction of abnormalities in your body. Can I hear an amen? And then finally, for today, the mantles and token. The mantles, like handkerchiefs, like our clothes, our dress, like the rod of Moses, like the towel of Elijah. Mantles. Tokens, they are New Testament mysteries, yeah, for healing. Like the altar on which we are standing, it's a physical thing that can carry power, and no man has the right to speak against it. Yes, it's a physical thing, but it can contact power. Yes, just like this is a physical thing, but it can contact power. Just like my dress, I gave my dress to One of my pastors. By then he was still staying with his family. He took it to his house. And then his junior brother, who was chasing after the anointing, his junior brother was more hungry for power than he, my son. So his junior brother saw that this suit belongs to Pastor Prince. And he is not in this church, but he's been following me from afar. And he took that suit. That midnight, he waited for his brother to sleep. And he carried my suit and he wore it. And he went to sleep with it. He could not sleep the whole night. He woke up the following day telling his brother that you people, you don't know the man you are following. Something happened to me through the night. You don't know the man you are following. Today, as I'm talking to you now, he's traveling all over the place, prophesying, doing great things. I'm telling you, because he had regard for the mantle that if this belongs to Pastor Prince, then his power is in it. So he wore it. I guess what I'm saying. Yeah. Tell somebody mantles are real. And they can bring healing. They can bring deliverance. They can bring healing. There are
They are called points of contacts. Write it down. They are called points of contacts. When we say point of contact, something that you are connecting to in order to touch the power of God. Something physical that you want to connect to express your faith. It's not everybody who can express his faith directly without any point of contact. There are people whose faith are not that strong. They are only able to express their faith when there is something physical they can connect to. And it's not fetishism. It's not because they are Africans. It's because they have weak faith. It's not because they are Africans. And not because they are fetish. It's because they have weak faith. How do I know? Because there were two people who came to Jesus. All of them needed the same miracle of healing. One of them said, come and lay hands. Say, physical. Let there be a touch. Come and lay hands. And Jesus said, yo, according to your faith. Jesus went, laid hands. Jairus' daughter, bam, healed. Another man came who was an army commander. Said, listen, I'm even a sinner. You don't need to come to my house. And me, I'm a commander. I have power. I tell people, go, they go. I don't need to go. Once I speak, it happens. And if you're a spiritual commander, then whatever you say can happen. So I don't need you to come and have a physical touch. All I need is that just speak your word and it will happen. And Jesus said, this is a greater faith. Meanwhile, come and touch my daughter was not wrong. It's the level of faith. So somebody waiting for handkerchief of his pastor to get a miracle does not mean he has made his pastor a god. Does not mean he's fetish. Does not mean he doesn't believe in Jesus. It only means is that he has a weak faith. And this is what can help him to express his faith. But another can just be there and shout Jesus and something will happen without needing a mantle. That doesn't mean that this one is a fetish. So there must be a balance in what we teach out there. If we are not prophets, let's not try to explain what prophets are doing. Because we will make mistakes. And so there are people that they have faith because pastor prayed. They have faith because they came to the altar, a physical place they can meet God. That's their level of faith. Leave them. Somebody too can be in his office and still meet God. That's his level. But somebody will have to be like Hannah and come to the altar and you get his miracle. It does not mean that he has taken Jesus out and he has put his faith in the altar. It only means that he's able to believe in Jesus easily by having something physical to contact with, to express his faith in. I hope you understand the things I'm talking about, because I know you two, you are online. And I know you have been listening to things and we're hearing things, and you want to know my stance on some of them. That's what I'm talking to you about. I get what I'm saying. This is why you believe that God's power resides in a material or a substance, because it has been prayed over or anointed for miracles. This is where you believe that God's power resides in something. That the fact that this thing has been prayed over, or this thing is being used by my man of God, or this thing has been brought to the altar, I believe that the power at work has entered it. It's faith. And the same way that our healing power moves. It can move if that you believe that. So who told that woman to go and touch the dress of Jesus? Before she did that, it was not recorded anywhere that you touch the dress of Jesus and you'll be healed. All what Jesus was doing was laying hands on people and speaking. And as this man did something for the first time, and Jesus says that this is great faith. That woman, the faith has made thee whole. This is great faith. All she did was to touch the dress. And it brought the miracle. Her bleeding ceased. Because the dress has had contact with the flesh of Jesus. And the anointing in the spirit of Jesus, okay, has gone through the body, because he lays hands. And by laying hands, there is a release of power, anointing. So the body, when you touch it, there's a release of the dress on him. That's why the Bible says that even the Old Testament, the Bible says that how beautiful it is for brethren to fellowship. It's like the ointment, the oil that flows from the head of Aaron, passes through the beard, even to the tip of his dress. When the anointing moves, it enters into dress. Even from Old Testament, it enters into dress. So the woman knew that from Old Testament, Aaron the priest, his anointing was even in his dress. So if Jesus is now a New Testament priest, then his anointing too can be in his dress. So if he will not see me to touch me, let me sneak and touch his dress, and I will get what others are getting by touch. It's faith. That's her faith. She didn't replace Jesus with a dress. She didn't say the dress is her God. Don't think for her. Don't talk for her. Accept what she's doing. Don't criticize her. And the Bible says that after she did that, in Mark 5, 25 to 29, and got a miracle, the testimony spread. So in Matthew 14, 34 to 36, it became a formula. Now, many people, Jesus got to Gennesaret, got down at the beach. And when the people heard that, the man whose dress healed that 12 years woman, perhaps that woman was coming from that town because she was not a Jew, healed that woman, has come here. Bible says that they all, give me the scripture, I just mentioned. They went to gather all the sick people, and when they came, they did not ask Jesus to touch them. They all came to hold Jesus' dress. And everybody who had Jesus' dress, bam, their sickness disappear. When they come, they all come to hold Jesus' dress, bam, because they heard that that woman held Jesus' dress and was healed. So they also came to hold Jesus' dress and they got their healing. Does that mean they are worshiping idols? Does that mean they don't need Jesus anymore? I get what I'm saying. If somebody used that oil, that water, and it works, I'm telling you, everybody will go and buy some. Whether you like it or not, sit in your church and talk. Everybody will go and buy some. They'll go and buy some because they want the resource. And somebody said he used that water and got it. So since they also need that miracle, they'll go and buy that water. They heard that somebody touched Jesus and they also went to do the same thing. I guess what I'm trying to say. These are what we call mantles, tokens. That's why I don't give my dress to people anyhow. When I give you my dress, it means that I'm transferring something into you. I'm giving you something. I don't give my dress to people who need a dress. I give my dress to people I see the call of God on their life. Somebody I know God wants to use, I give my dress. I don't give my dress to people who need a dress. I'd rather go and sew some for you. All my pastors, I give them dresses. I give them dress not because that they cannot afford. They have nicer dresses than even I can afford. But I give them my dress so that there will be a transmission of the anointing. Have you forgotten what happened to Elisha and Elijah? When Elijah left, what did Elijah do? Did Elisha go to fast and pray? What did Elijah do? He took the handkerchief, the mantle, the cloth of Elijah that fell. He took it and he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Because he said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" He's a pagan person. Because he didn't mention Jesus, he has sinned. Because he didn't mention, where is Yahshua? He has sinned. Because he didn't mention Jehovah, and he said the God of Elijah, he has sinned. So when somebody said the God of so and so, the person has sinned. Because the person didn't go, you are just playing theology. You are just playing theology. You are just playing theology. The person knows what he's talking about, and God knows the heart of the person. Leave them alone. We'll keep calling the God of Oedipo. It's not your concern. We'll keep calling the God of Ajinasari. It's not your business. As long as he's doing it for us, we are okay. And we know he's not Tigari. We know that's Jesus. So when I say, may the God of rescue, I'm not afraid of anybody. Because I know it is Jesus. If you are not sure, go and be sure before you join us. Am I not answering some things in your mind? Because I know you're also online. Elijah used it and it worked. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 29. And it open. Because the power of God that was working for Elijah was in that mantle. 2 Kings 2 verse 14. 2 Kings 4 29. 2 Kings 2 verse 14. In 2 Kings 4 29. That was where Elijah. 2:14. No, 4:19. Yeah, this is what I just said. So 4:19. That was where Elisha sent Gehazi with his rod, his stick, to go and heal the boy who was dead. To go and raise the boy who was dead. Elisha didn't go. He sent somebody with a stick. That take this, my walking stick. It carries power. That means the pastor's walking stick even carries power. His shoe carries power. His dress carries power. He's not God, but he's a man of God. It's in the Bible. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. See, okay. All the things you are saying is in the Old Testament. Acts 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, 11 to 12. One go. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. May God work unusual miracles by my hands in your life. God doesn't work without using men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing God will do for you without using a man. Everything God will do for you, he will send someone. Whether a job, whether marriage, whether a house. Somebody, a human. God never throws money from heaven. As a matter of fact, there is no money in heaven. What is in heaven is not money. It's not money you can use. US dollars, what? It's not in heaven. It's in the pockets of human beings. If God wants to give you money, he will touch the heart of a certain human being who will give you the money. Are you guys what I'm saying? So when the blessings of God are released in heaven, it is human beings that carry it into your life. God worked unusual miracles by the hand of a human being called Paul. So when they say that, where is the God of Paul? They have not seen. 12. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. This is not Old Testament. This is not Old Testament. They brought handkerchiefs and aprons from his body. And they used it what? To heal the sick. And the disease left them. And the evil spirits went out of them. This is Paul. Not Elisha. This is Paul. So Charlie, don't let anybody tell you that. Why? These days, people believe rather in the handkerchiefs of men of God and the altars of men of God, and they don't believe in Jesus. You are a liar. Who told you they don't believe in Jesus? If they don't believe in Jesus, they don't enter into any church. They believe Jesus sent the person. That's why they believe. That's why they are in the first place. Nobody goes because we assume Muslim that they will go. They believe in Jesus that the person is serving. That's why they went there. So don't think for them. I always tell people, don't think for them. And don't talk for them. The fact that you don't operate in that way does not mean it is wrong. God has what he has sent you to do. Do your own. You are succeeding. Let them also do their own. They are also succeeding. We have given our stickers, handkerchiefs, anointing oil, different things to people. And has brought miracles. You'll be hearing some on the testimony stage. Somebody came to share a testimony just recently in line with that. And so we in this church, we believe in mantles. We believe in the power that is in. As I'm preaching, the anointing on me is working on this altar. This altar is connected to the altar in heaven that God is sitting, and is dedicated to the God in heaven. And as I'm preaching on it, my sweat and all my anointing is flowing. It's flowing on it. So if somebody comes by faith and touches it, like Hannah, the person will get an answer. Why? Not because of me, but because of the God that I call on this altar. Because of the God I call. So your altar can be powerless, but my altar is powerful. I believe in my altar because it has worked for me. Yeah. Clap your two hands for Jesus. So these are some of the New Testament mysteries. The anointing oil, laying on of hands in the name of Jesus, and all those things. They are ways by which we are able to get healing. There is power.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.